Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sponsoring this week on Staying Relevant is Hinge. I am very, very excited about this one, Samuel.
Oh, Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. It is very up your street, to be fair.
There is an opportunity for you to be involved, though, Sam.
Any excuse to meddle in your love life. I love it.
With voice prompt, my best friends take on why you should date me. You can actually lean on your friends to hype you up to potential matches. Try not to get too excited, Sam.
I would be the best hype man for you. I would. I'd talk about your smell and then move on to how you always take care of anyone in your group on a night out and also how you bring little snacks in your briefcase. They're very endearing quality.
Wow. Just wow, Sam. As we found out there, it's not easy to see your own green flags, especially if you're humble and self-deprecating like me. Add that to your list, Samuel. But it is easy for your friends to do so on your behalf.
Now, I'm glad you like my suggestion, Peter, and download the dating app Hinge and try its voice prompts today.
Welcome to Staying Relevant with Pete Wicks and... well, no one. So Sam's still away in the jungle, but we recorded this before he went with his nemesis, Roman Kemp. Fabulous episode. Sam was like a little girl. Roman was unbelievably cool. And I was mostly bored. Enjoy.
Welcome to Staying Relevant with two bestest of best pals. Look at the camera. Me, Sam Thompson, and the icon, the legend that is Mr. Peter James Wicks. Welcome to Staying Relevant.
Yeah, lovely. As usual, I will be drinking and I'll be swearing. If you don't like that, go f*** yourself. Watch us on YouTube every Friday, every Monday when it comes out. Also follow us on Staying Relevant Instagram
and TikTok.
What's the other one? Snapchat.
We are actually joined in this episode by someone that we've been trying to get on the sofa. Actually, since we started, he was one of our first names. It's taken over a year, but here he is. It's my nemesis, Mr. Roman Kemp. Roman, thank you so much for being here, mate. How much genuinely did it take for you to come here? How much begging? We're with the same agency.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that like I wasn't really aware of this. Like
most people aren't.
No. No one's really heard of the podcast. So like, you know,
No!
I when I was asking about it, I'm joking. I don't know who it was, but someone come up to me one day and they were like, "Oh, Sam, how are you with Sam?" And I was like, "Hey, good guy."
He was like,
"It's the worst when they like you as well."
Are you sure? I was like, "Yeah, what's the deal?" And then it was, "He doesn't like you." And I was like, "What? I don't really have beef with people. I don't really do that. Like, especially like I don't know. I've never, especially with someone I'd never met."
Yeah, that's even worse.
But the thing is, we had met because I had hosted something with you before, and I was thinking, "Oh no, he was a nice guy."
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it got really. And then I kept reading and scrolling and seeing how much you were obsessed with me. And then it got a bit weird.
You are his second biggest obsession behind My Jammer, who he talks about on a regular basis.
As a competition?
Not as nemesis, because Mai, you just want to be our friend.
No, look,
she's on our agency as well.
She is, yeah.
Don't worry, tried on that one as well.
Really?
Not interested, but you were Sam's number one person when we started this podcast to come on. You were
a
dream guest, so this is a really big moment for Sam.
I'm very appreciative.
I can feel the leg shaking next to me already. And before this, he was a bit clammy.
Do you know what? Boiling. I'm suddenly boiling. Do you know what? So Rome, just a bit of background on the Nemesis thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I should explain.
We, because someone's obviously taken it really literally. So we, and they've gone up to Rome and been like, he fucking hates you.
That's what I heard. So, not just one person, several
people. So we each talk about Nemesis, right? Yeah. And I go, the beauty is that my Nemesis doesn't even know who I am. You know, when someone walks down the corridor, they're actually almost, they're like really nice.
Yeah.
So you walk down the corridor and you go, oh, you're right, mate. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then you're like, fuck, is even nice. And you sit there going, this fucking prick's actually quite nice.
But why?
No.
I can tell you why. It's because you're better.
Yeah. You're everything that I want to be.
In what sense, though? In a presenter sense?
Mate, in everything.
In a talent sense.
But I'm one behind Joel Dommett, so don't worry.
Everyone... so is he your nemesis?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Everyone's
but again,
got one.
Joel's so fucking nice.
Yeah, you can't hate him. You can't hate the fucker. No. We actually think he's the same. He's so lovely.
But I get it, though. Do you not think that... Do you not see it as...
If you were good
lanes?
Enough, you'd get the job. Yeah. That's absolutely. How I see things.
So why? What jobs are you jealous of?
Well, it's, mate, the thing is, you've been around for so long. You've done so many amazing things. Yeah. And, you know, you are...
likeable.
You're likeable. You're lovely.
So are you.
Bloke.
This isn't a loving match, but you are.
Come on.
I'm okay, fine. I'll be real. Sometimes you're likeable.
You've got to have a nemesis, right? You have to have one.
Yeah, I guess so. So,
for example, Jordan... You said Jordan North said you as well.
Yeah. Jordan North said me. Christ.
We are sitting with the most hated man in the industry, evidently.
That's what
I think you're great,
like,
mate, but everyone else seems to have a real problem with what have you been doing? What have you done?
So Pete's Ovi Soko.
Right, so I just want to point this one out. Yeah, but this was made. This Sam made my nemesis up,
right?
Effectively,
because he needed one.
Because we're with the same management, and because he's just a very tall, good-looking, really nice guy that everyone loves.
Right,
that's why he's my nemesis. But yours is a kind of deep-rooted hate.
So can I say? You see Jordan? Jordan's on our management as well.
So you can see a trend here.
Yeah. Is it just you hate the people that are on the same management?
This sounds
because
awful.
You feel that the management are only going for jobs for them.
No, this sounds worse than it is.
No, but so basically, I'm just,
what it now is, sounds Roman, like I hate you. No, I don't.
I think it might be to do with the management. Maybe it's because they tell you that you're going out for jobs and then you find out that Roman and Jordan and everyone else is
saying that. Oh, yeah, that's hard.
What you say
it's tough to be shit.
Yeah, mate, it's tough to be the bottom feeder. That's the thing, right?
But... Yeah, I know. But the thing is, though, is that, like, you know, I was, you know, every time I'd hear, like, a job, you know, there were people saying, like, there's this big gig that, you know, you could be getting.
Who was nicking it?
You could get this show. It's coming over from America. It's called Masked Singer. It could be big. You know, we think you might get this. Fucking Joel Dommett. Yeah. Oh, the NTAs are coming up. They want a new host. They're really interested in you. Do you want to do it? Yeah, I want to do it. Okay, I think you might do it. Joel Dommett's doing it. like it's the same. And Joel, listen, again, like...
Lovely bloke.
Joel, for me, I love him. He is so funny. And, like, you know... That's the problem, though.
You look at him down the corridor and you go, you are the most lovable... I've ever met.
I absolutely love this imaginary corridor that everyone bumps into each other in.
But no,
Where is this corridor?
No,
but I never seem to be invited.
We're lucky that we are inside a world now where it is nice.
Yeah.
Because genuinely, like, it is nice. And one thing I would never do, I've taken this into radio and whatever, even if I fucking hate someone, I'll never cuss out their work. Like, do you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Because I think, you know, we're all on the same weird ship. Some are clearly just better than others. And
mate,
I'm a little bit better
I
than
love
you.
That. Do you know what epitomised that more than anything? Is Roman in first class when he sent his video to us and went, hi, it's Roman Kemp here, Sam's nemesis. I'm off to Korea and I'm then going to come and nick your job as the presenting thing whilst he's in a class I've never sat in before.
Hold on. No one believes you've never been in first class. Everyone knows you've been in first class.
Genuinely haven't.
You've never been in first class, in my life. No, all the times you've been Maldives, South Africa on safari and all your little fucking trips.
Never.
There's no such thing as first class on a private jet, though, is it?
There you go. But it was quite funny because when we did that birthday episode with the Nemesis, Ovi sent a video and we had him on the podcast and he was just like, I just can't wait to see you, man. It's so nice. And you went off to another job you didn't get.
Yeah.
Gonna nick your job.
job. And yeah, so I feel like I've done better with a nemesis.
But this is what I love, because as Roman said, it's so true. And you know, we do break the fourth wall quite a lot on this podcast as well. Like, you know, obviously you do have,
don't understand it.
You do, yeah, we don't get it.
But at what point do you think we break the fourth wall? Well, because there's never been one.
Well, people like to think there is. And so we basically...
He really thinks that there's some sort of like really breaking bounds on this podcast.
I think we do.
It's not that interesting.
Do you know why I said that? It's because Zara went to an event last night and someone came up to me and I really like the way you're saying relevant, break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And I took it. I was like, we really do, don't we?
Yeah.
I was like, we really...
His Mrs. makes documentaries and so now he's trying to do the same.
Yeah. Again, I mean? Fuck that up as well. So, yeah, made one on ADHD for E4.
No, like three or four of us watched it.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, Zara was in that so much, it was more like Zara McDermott living with fucking ADHD. Because it was mostly about the struggle she has being around you.
My documentary is just me crying. Don't worry.
Yours is brilliant, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's well, that's a mine, mate.
Yeah, but the difference is I watched his.
Oh, my God. You were in mine.
Yeah.
You didn't even watch it, did you?
Nope.
Fuck you. But I will say this, and I do mean it, and you agree with this. It's the same thing with Ovi, is that like you have these like sort of like any job, right? And you look at someone, you go, oh, that fucker's going to go get that promotion. I want that promotion. It's all in jest and it's all fucking like, it's all so funny and it is all in the interest of staying relevant. The hilarious, depressing nature of the industry we're in. It's so funny in a depressing way.
But that's all right. Yeah, but I hate events. Like I don't go to events. Like if it's not...
Pete loves an event.
If I'm being paid, I'm there, mate.
Yeah, I know. But you're that guy.
Yeah, like, he's that
and
guy.
And you can pull that off. Like, thing is, is that like, genuinely, like, and this isn't even from a... I don't know how to put it. It's just like, if it's not work and if I'm not physically working, I just want to be at home.
I'm the exact same.
And I can't... I've never been a going out person. Like, I'm always the first to leave out of all my mates. Within our friend group, it's a Kemp exit because I'm just gone.
Yeah.
And they all know I'll see him the next day.
Yeah.
Like, put it this way, me and the boys... Me
the
and
Thompson turnaround with him.
Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, but that sounds a bit sexual.
And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it is.
Yeah. But like...
The Thompson turnaround is fucking brilliant. Yeah.
If you get sexual, we call it the reach around.
Yeah, the Thompson turnover. No,
the other way. I don't want to see your face.
Me and the boys went to Vegas this year, like, and like I even had to book like a separate room, like because we had been sharing rooms, like we'd done this whole like US trip, and I had to book the last day.
I followed you on Instagram.
Room.
It was great.
It was great.
We're gonna say you followed him to Vegas. I was gonna say you really took
like,
too far.
I was going to bed at like 10:30, 11, and
Vegas.
I swear to you.
Right, well, come on, man.
Mate, I'm boring as fuck. Like, Jesus. I'm so boring. And like, I like the fun, like outdoorsy stuff. And then like, when it comes to like nightclubs, I don't care about this. Like,
is that because you've done like breakfast where you've had to be up early for so long that your social life died?
A little bit, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like
a little
you're
bit.
In that routine now of I go to bed early 100%. And I get up early.
Yeah, 100%. I also, from the age of like 23 to 27, I smashed the shit out of going out.
Yeah.
Like, hard. I'm sure you did as well.
Yeah.
No,
I did a little bit. Not in Pete's world, but like, for a normal person.
What were you, raffles every 5 minutes?
I was,
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Bluebird,
you lived it.
Raffles.
Yeah, Bluebird.
You lived it, though. You had a good time in your earlies.
Man,
and
I peaked when I had to introduce Mesut Ozil to Justin Bieber in a nightclub.
That's pretty cool.
That's
pretty cool.
I think that may be the coolest story that we've heard on this podcast.
Do you want to know it?
Ever.
Justin, basically, it was really weird because like when Justin Bieber had like Purpose... that kind of era.
Purpose tour.
Yeah. When he had that era.
Oh, I thought you meant just in life.
Yeah. He basically, like, you know, he had this era that was amazing and he was the biggest star in the world. Yeah. That's kind of what we've got with Taylor Swift right now.
Mm.
And he basically came into the studio to Capitol and we started to, like, just kind of, we got on because, like, we were kind of similar in age. And we ended up going out that night. And then every time he'd come back to London, we would always go out. And then I went to LA and stay at his place and, like, all this. Like, it was this weird friendship, right? And then one time he come to London and I'd just also been doing some work with Adidas and I'd been working with these footballers. So I had this weird mate friend group, like celebrity friend group, where it's like you got these footballers and then you got these pop stars. And it all culminated.
I know you feel.
And it
do you see why the Nemesis thing is happening now?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
the name dropping. Oh, I'm really going to bomb it today.
Yeah.
And then literally, like, so we're in this nightclub and all of a sudden this person comes over to me. I was with Justin and this person comes over to me. And it's Mesut Ozil, Arsenal legend, if you're listening and have no idea who that is, look him up.
Fell off a little bit at the end, though.
Yeah. He came over wearing, no banter, a string vest.
Shut
right?
up.
But like, you know, full nipple string vest, right? In a nightclub. Very odd. Very,
was it
very
fancy
odd.
Dress?
Yeah. No. No, it was very odd.
That
though.
Bob Marley night.
And it was a little bit, yeah. And then he say, come over. He come over and he goes, Roman, can you introduce me? And I went, fucking, this is weird. I was like, yeah, okay then. So I go over to Justin because he's got these, like, you know, security people around him and stuff. And I said, look, I want to introduce you to a football player. Like, he's a great guy. He plays for my team. Like, please just be nice to him. Like, do you know what I mean? Just let him in if he wants to come into this area. He was like, he's safe. And he goes, yeah. So I introduced them both. And Justin, like, shakes his hand and, like hits his hand like this and, like, you know, looks at Mezut. And I'm standing in the middle. And he looks at Mezut and goes, he tells me you're the greatest. and then Mesut Ozil looks him back and goes, I'd like to think so.
that's quite a cool story.
Oh, mate.
And then for some reason, in the corner of the room is Jimmy Carr.
That is the biggest curveball I think I've heard.
It was so weird, man. Like, Jimmy Carr was just sat there.
I don't know why the thought of Jimmy Carr in tape is...
Man, it was so weird. I brought this up with Jimmy, and like, he's just like, yeah, I don't know why I was there. But he was in the area. Like it was like, he was just sat there with a
whiskey. You know what I love, right, is, and this is why, that you are the perfect person to have on Staying Relevant, because you have the exact life that I want. Like, Pete, I don't know. Pete wants to live in a forest somewhere, but like...
Oh,
but
I
like,
want to live there.
That's
and goats.
That's the coolest fucking story I think I've ever heard about. And then Freddie goes, yeah, I went up to Jimmy. I told Jimmy after, have you got Jimmy Carr's number? I bet you do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he fucking does.
Did his Christmas party?
No way.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Christmas party. Well, I missed out. Apparently it used to be even more wild. But
he was quite infamous for having these wild fucking Christmas parties.
We used to have Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, like fucking...
Shut up.
No, I saw on my life. He used to have Stephen Hawking there.
Yeah, really wild fucking party things. Yeah.
But like, lovely bloke. Yeah. But like, again, like, I could turn up to this party and I think it was me, Daisy May Cooper, like Louis Theroux.
Louis Theroux!
Like
I'm
everyone.
Obsessed with Louis Theroux.
Yeah,
one Louis... person I've not met that I'm dying to meet.
Yeah, amazing bloke. I was quite intimidated by meeting Louis the other day. Yeah. He's like one of my heroes. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Do you know who mine would be? Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry?
Yeah. If I met Stephen Fry, I don't know what I'd do. I'd literally...
Well, that's so weird. No, I don't think anyone has ever said Stephen Fry.
Do you know
Fry.
What? It's because he narrated Harry Potter on all the books, so I used to listen to him all the time. And then he's a massive...
I've never seen Harry Potter.
What?
In my life, I've never seen it.
But you like being at home and stuff. I thought you were going to...
Sorry, not every fucking loser that stays home watches Harry Potter.
Calling Roman a loser?
Yes. Yes.
No, I swear to
God. Go out.
No, but
enjoy life.
No, but you're true. It's true. But I've never seen it.
Why?
Because it's kids on broomsticks. Who gives a fuck?
No.
Yeah.
You know they do real life Quidditch?
Yes, I've heard.
Do you want to play?
Absolutely not. I didn't even know what it is. Like, I swear...
Put a broomstick between your legs.
Yeah, I did that. But it's three big balls?
Yeah, so you've got the quaffle, the bludger, and the snitch.
Yeah, I'm bored.
Yeah, no, trust me, you're not. You're not, because the snitch is a tennis ball hanging out of someone's arse. It's mate, it's jokes. And they're dressed in gold in a morph suit.
Mate, see, that's it. I respect it. I respect the love.
Yeah, thank you.
I respect
the
love.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but he's looking at me, so I have to say that.
No, you don't.
Lie to him. Sam's surrounded by enablers. We can't add another one to the list.
I find that really interesting, though, that you, because you've obviously lived such a fucking fun life, as you say, in your early sort of 20s and stuff.
Mm.
Is it hard for you sometimes to look back and be like, holy fuck, I've done some things that other people can only dream of?
Or nah.
Can you still look back and go, that's pretty awesome?
Nah, the most important thing I've always said was, the question I hate is, where do you want to be in 5 years? Which sucks. Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, but the reason being is that, like, if you said that to anyone, even anyone in this room, like, if you said it, you're better off looking back at what you achieved in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's
That's
ridiculous.
Where it gets depressing for me.
Well, no, but Pete, even if you, like, if I said, you know, you went to you lived on an island in the middle of Panama, like, you know, yeah, you didn't think wild. You got bitten by a shark, albeit a very small one.
Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate
but,
that.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, I always think that there's this tendency, especially when you live in, like, London or if you do our jobs, to be like, the next thing. And the reason being, right, is because, like, and I learned, and this is where I say I'm at a premium. You know, I'm at a premium from you because I have my parents.
Mm.
Like, and I don't mean that in a sense of like they can get me in places, but I mean they can get me in places. No. I mean it in the sense of the experience is so amazing. Like, you know, I'll speak to my dad and the the number one thing he always says to me, I always like ask him about his regrets, and like, you know, my dad played Live Aid.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
That is mental.
But then when I ask him about Live Aid, I was like, what was it like? He goes, I hated it. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, because I was so focused on, got to play the new song. Are they going to like the next song? Are they going to enjoy, you know, how many singles are we going to sell off the back of this thing? And it's about enjoying
the experience.
Enjoy looking and taking it in and not looking forward. And you know, actually, and that's why I have this big thing. When I'm doing something cool, I genuinely try to stop and look around and go, remember.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that. And we're really fortunate to do some fucking mad shit, amazing things that you would never get a chance to do.
Of course.
And I think you have to remember how fortunate you are to be able to do some of that stuff. And I think it's a really common thing for people to forget about the whole journey that they're on just because they're too like intent on concentrating on the destination where they want to be.
100%.
Everyone's got this thing where they have to do this and they have to do this and they have to do this and they forget to enjoy what you're doing. Same reason I say to you about like whenever like social media, I fucking hate it. Mm. I hate it because people don't enjoy what they're doing at the time. They're too busy putting it on social media.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I love social media.
And it's the same thing. You haven't got to like just enjoy what you're doing at that moment.
But I don't think you enjoy social media. I think you love creating.
Yeah, very good point.
I think he loves attention.
Fuck me, you're a therapist.
No, but I just mean it in the sense of like, see, I'm with you. If I didn't have our jobs, I would not have any social media. I wouldn't. Like, I really, really wouldn't. See, when I come out of I'm a Celeb, I didn't switch my phone on it until 6 weeks after.
No way.
Yeah. 6 weeks, like long time. So like, and that's because I didn't want that. You know, you speak to like,
Ant and Dec are gonna pass it to Sam across the fucking bridge.
But listen,
there you go.
You know, when you speak to people like Ed Sheeran, name drop.
Yeah.
Ed will tell you, like, Ed doesn't have a phone. Like, Ed's email.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's not.
Yeah, he's email, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran 69 at hotmail.com.
Do you MSN him?
Yeah, like, you know, you email Ed and like, you know, and
have you ever emailed him?
Yeah, we chat a lot.
They're pals, yeah.
Via email.
Yeah.
How do you start the email? Is it to Ed?
No, it's literally.
Or dear,
like,
Ed. How do you start? How does that hope his email finds you well?
Probably got pet names for each other.
Yeah.
Or is it like corporate? Go, as per my last email, if exactly. It's a little bit, if he hasn't replied.
But you speak to those people, and it's like, you know, I always think the people that last the longest in this game, and talking about like staying relevant and whatever, like the people that last the longest, in my opinion, are the ones that differentiate from what it is that they are chasing. Mm. Are they chasing their own form of happiness? Right, which is fine, which is, you know, doing these moments, these incredible things, or are they chasing someone else's, which is like your understanding of fame, right? So like fame, if you look at it, like I always used to say this to my dad as well, like my dad was like, I used to fucking love it, you know. Mm. My dad would have girls climbing drain pipes.
Still does.
I was just about to say, still does. Yeah, still does.
But you know, like all this type of stuff, and he'd be like, you know, I'd love it, he'd go out, you know, he'd do all the drugs in the world and whatever. But then you look at it and you kind of go, okay, fame is actually the con of our job. Like, if you've got pros and cons, the con side is people want to know you. They want to chat to you. They want to come up to you. They want to do this. They want to take pictures of you, which is, I understand it, and it's what you sign up for. The pros is that we get to stand on that stage at Live Aid, or, you know, you get to do these incredible things. And it's understanding those two sides. And once you put the fame in the pro side, you're in the wrong world.
Yeah, and you get to film those fun videos that we get to film.
Pete. Yeah, but that's not for anyone. That's just in your garden for your little wank bank.
Yeah, but I love it. I love the creative side of it and being like, what can I do with Pete?
Yeah, exactly.
What can I do with Pete? Oh, it's a much smaller scale to Live Aid. What can I do with
Pete? No, but
Pete?
It's true though. No, but like, listen, like, I'm not doing Live Aid, you know what I mean? But like, it's that's it, you know?
No, if there was Live Aid now, you'd probably host it.
Yeah, so. No, Joel Tomic would.
Yeah, Joel Tomic would. Yeah, exactly.
But it's so true, mate, even getting to sit on this podcast, right? And like, the amount of fun shit we've done. I mean, even losing at the fucking podcast awards, like the fun we had, like getting the content out of that was
who won?
Choked. Red-handed.
But also, don't you think that people within this industry as well, they don't enjoy themselves because they start being what they think people want them to be rather than who they actually are? And that's why it's so easy for people to lose themselves doing all this sort of stuff, is because you start catering to what you think will make your career more successful more famous or you whatever else. And actually, you start to lose who you are when you're at home on your own or with your friends, your family and all that sort of stuff.
100%.
And I think that's one thing that you've done really well, and that's probably because of maybe your mum and dad.
Yeah, thank you.
Where you were with that, is that you're still so close to them and your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because you're all within that kind of industry, so you're all kind of aware of it. So I don't think it really affects who you are as people, because you know who you are.
But like,
and that's such a beautiful thing to have whilst being surrounded by so much shite.
Yeah, but also at the same time, I think, like, you know, I'm a full-blown nepo. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't have had it better. So, you know, but still at the same time, it's nice because one, my friend group is so harsh.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like,
yeah.
My mates are like, it is like kill or be killed.
Yeah.
Like my WhatsApps are horrendous. Yeah. Like if I do anything good, I'm getting my pants pulled down within a second. Yeah. Like they are so bad. Like
that's so good.
Tough love.
Yeah, but like, you know, we're all mates since we're like 6 years old. But then on top of that, it's like, you've got that. I've got that from my mates. And then if I go out and I do something nice, people go, yeah. But I still love your dad though.
Yeah, oh yeah. I go to Pete. I go out and people go, well, where's Sex on Legs? Where's Pete Wicks? Where's your other
you
half?
You do give off Sex on Legs.
You really do.
But you've gone for that.
Oh yeah, no, he has. Yeah. He knows.
What do you mean I've gone for it?
You've gone for
it. Look at the shirt slightly a bit more unbuttoned than would normally be.
See, Pete, there's a difference between me and you. We've got like similar type of tats. I've got, you know, my body, but I cover up, son. Do you know what I
mean? But there's nothing else. It's declining. The face is starting to look like a melted Wellington boot. So you have to distract people.
An old
beard
of leather.
I was going to ask about like the relationship with your dad because it gets mentioned to you all the time.
Yeah, of course.
How annoying is it?
It's not, man. It's not. It's really nice. I mean that. And
you should say it like you mean it then.
Yeah. But part of me wants to think, oh, yeah, fuck it. You know, I wish people wouldn't say it. But what's the flip side, right? Imagine my dad's someone that got cancelled.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And then,
that's what
that.
He's got coming up with me.
No, that's what I mean. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's like, what if that was the case? And how amazing is it that if I get in a cab,
people love.
If I get in a cab, right, the first thing people say to me, like the cab drivers, they'll say is, oh, as your mum and dad, I love them. They're the nicest people. That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really nice to hear. Whenever I'd say to people at the beginning of my career, like people were saying, oh, you know, my nemesis in a way is Martin Kemp.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know
because I can't escape him. I'll never escape his shadow. And the thing is like
the tall one.
But quite broad. People are quite scared of him. But like, you know, he is, you know, here and my mum. And I watched the Wham documentary recently and I watched it. Yeah. And the first thing I did was turn to my mum. Because her and I watched it together for the first time. And I turned to her and I was like, I owe you so much more respect than I think I've ever given you. I was like, because I didn't realise how much you've achieved. And if you've got the two people that you're most proud of and people are like, you know, oh, they're amazing people and they're kind and whatever, you know, whenever it comes to my dad, it's like, oh, are you looking to live up to your dad's career? Yeah. Are you trying to better your dad's career? Fucking, look, I don't care about what I do in the career. If I can, I feel the pressure of having to be as nice as him.
Yeah. Like, good of a person.
He's a really fucking nice guy.
Well, Pete knows,
but he's annoyingly nice, man.
Yeah, really.
But do you know my dad? Yeah, he I don't know if you ever got this, but my dad has this thing where you look at him and you're like, oh, you're so nice, but you would never toe the line. You wouldn't cross the line.
You would not fuck.
It, like, really? Yeah, yeah.
If you get on with him, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Explain to the listener how you know
Martin. So I did a show with Martin a couple of years ago. Like I did The Island with him. So we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And you've always said when he came out, you was like, I literally made two friends out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them was Martin.
Yeah.
He was fucking great. And then I know your mum through like animal charities.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
A few times. And weird enough, your sister wrote songs for Mike's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it's a whole mad fucking weird.
Can't wait to hear them. I can't wait to hear how many of them are about Pete. Yeah. And how many
I think she helped to write one that was about me, and it was called Far Cry from Love. So we'll move on from that. But actually, I think something you said a minute ago is utter rubbish, and that's that you're in his shadow, because I don't think you are. I think actually, genuinely, you've created such a different path for yourself.
Thanks, man.
And come into your own. Actually, it's got nothing to... It's cool as fuck that they're your parents and that's your family.
Yeah.
But stand alone, I think you as a person have completely made your own fucking path.
Do you know what I love as well?
Haven't lived off someone else like he has with his dad.
But at the same time, like the thing is, yeah.
Do you know what?
Yeah. No. Because I've always said this, and you, either of you would say the same thing. Like, I don't have kids yet, but kids are the most important thing to me, like in the world. Like what I want in my life isn't anything to do with that side of it. Is, you know, I always say to my mates, like, regardless of what you see me doing or like anything like that that goes on Instagram, you'll know when I'm actually happy when I announce that I'm having a baby or something like that. That for me is like the thing. And with my dad, it's like he did everything he could for me to help me be happy. And that, I think you would do the same for your kids.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And do you know what I like is that you do your bit as well, mate, because, you know, as I said, I follow you on the gram and I find this so great because I can't imagine what this would be like if I like did this to my dad. So his dad's brought out a book right?
Yeah.
And you know when I do something, I message you, Pete, and I go, hey, mate, do you mind just giving my video a little bit of an Insta story?
Yeah.
And just sort of get the views on it a little bit.
Yeah.
You're doing that with your dad.
No,
I find that. Does he get in contact? You'd be like, oh, right, 100%. I need a little bit of help. Can you do you mind putting a couple of numbers behind that, mate?
100%.
I find that brilliant.
But you got to think, yeah, and again, this goes back to like with my dad, like, my dad was one of those people that, you know, he is the nicest guy, but he is quite scary sometimes. Like, he is quite scary. You got to remember, he was in the crates.
Yeah.
And so, I'll tell you a funny story, like, recently, right? So, we do Gogglebox every year.
Yeah, that's the show we wanted to do.
And yeah, you could be good.
Yeah, but problem is we...
didn't get asked.
No. But look,
do you know anyone who works there?
Yeah, you will get it.
No, I think this year they went for Jeff and Bobby Brazier instead.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah. But again, like, you know, you got to battle them. It is kind of like that.
Now Roman's understanding the nemesis thing. He's I get it.
So yours is Jeff Brazier. but no, so this year we were doing Gogglebox and it's always this thing. I always watch how my dad works. And I love watching how my dad works because he's built this thing of like, almost national treasure level,
yeah.
But Pete's also being a nice guy, like when he does go serious, people really listen to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'll see him notice doing stuff. Like whenever we go to a job, if they're like, okay, so this is going to take like, you know, and we'll be finished. So if my dad walks in and he goes, and they go, okay, Martin, so this job's going to take about, you know, 3 hours and we'll be done. He goes, yeah, yeah, we'll do it in an hour. And then they're like, no. He goes, no, we'll be finished in
an hour. We'll get it done.
Yeah. He goes, no, an hour. And then everyone panics, right? But then the other day, the new one I heard this year, which was unbelievable, it's almost like a power play.
So you said it calmly as well.
Yeah, he's almost a bit of a power play. My dad doesn't want, when we shoot Gogglebox, he doesn't want any of the crew in the house, right? He doesn't want any of the crew in the house. So they sit in a van outside with cables going out to this van, right? And then they're like, yeah, but Martin, and my dad was like, yeah, but you know, if you want to go to the bathroom, like, you know, come in and just whatever, blah, blah. And so this year, and I'd never heard this one before, this year, fella producer pokes his head around the corner and goes, Martin, can I use your toilet? He goes, yeah, sure. Sit down though, yeah? He's making him take sit down piss. imagine getting to the point where you can tell another man you're going for a sit down with.
Yeah. My friend, I own you.
Yeah.
That is, and I bet he did. I bet he
sat
down.
He definitely did.
Oh, that is,
you don't want
so
to fuck with
good.
Him.
I did.
I love sit down weed, though.
I did a job of your dad in fucking Hull or something, I think. And it was like, he was DJing.
Yeah.
And I was hosting this fucking festival thing in the middle of this fucking street. And they did like a street party. So I had to go and introduce people on and do all that crap. And I remember being in like the little backstage thing with your dad. And I hadn't seen him for ages.
Yeah.
And the guy who booked me also books all your dad's DJ bits.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm stood there with him. And then your dad walks in. And so I'll give your dad a big hug and said hello. And I said, oh, like, you know, Yusuf and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and your dad went, yeah. Obviously, he books your dad's stuff as well. And apparently, Yusuf's known about 20 years. And your dad went and shook my tour manager's hand and went, nice to see you again, Yusuf. And I went, no, that's Steve. Yusuf's the one next to him. And then we had a picture of Yusuf. And Yusuf had it as his WhatsApp fucking thing for about a year after, but had cut me out.
No.
So all you've got is your dad and Yusuf and my arm around the side and just cut me out of it. And then they said to us, oh, right, you know, Martin, there's loads of like women outside who've come to see you and they want to see you. So we're going to set up this like meet and greet thing where they're going to come here. And he went, I don't think that was part of this.
Yeah.
The guy, and the guy went, what? And he went, I don't think I'm just here to DJ. I don't think we're doing like a meet and greet thing.
Yeah.
And the guy went, yeah, but, and your dad went, nope.
Yeah.
And just smiled at him and went, but I'll have a coffee.
Yeah.
and the guy went, okay, Martin, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've never seen anyone melt. The gig walked up with so much confidence. Yeah. And then your dad was so nice, but literally told him what to do. And the guy went, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's it. But it's
fucking joke.
He has this thing. But like, you know, my dad, knowing, being my dad's son has weirdly helped me out of like a lot of dodgy situations as well.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, especially around North London, it's quite easy to go to wrong place and blah, blah. And there's been times where you're in really weird ones and then they're like, oh, you're Martin Kemp's boy. Oh, right, yeah, fine, yeah. But then there was the weirdest one. When I was a kid, we had a knock on the door and it was the police.
Oh.
And the police come round and they were like, we have something for Martin that we have to give him. And we were like, what? And they go, yeah, it's come from Broadmoor prison.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's come from Broadmoor prison. And And they were like, yeah, but we have to like be here to hand deliver it. So do you know who Charles Bronson is?
No.
Charles Bronson is the most dangerous prisoner in the UK. If you want to see the film, the film's brilliant. Tom Hardy. So Charles Bronson, but he's also an incredible artist, right? And all of a sudden I get this, all of a sudden my dad opens up this thing and he looks at it and it's a drawing and like slash watercolor painting of Charles Bronson standing next to my dad. With respect written across the top of it.
Britain's hardest prisoner.
And then you've got this like prison wall with eyes flying over the wall that says the Birdman of Broadmoor always watching, right? And then on the reverse of it is like this handwritten letter from Charles Bronson being like, you represent people like us. Thank you, mate. Blah, blah, blah.
No.
It's amazing. Love it. Like,
that is but that's the like, sickest
like,
story.
My dad's like this like, really like lame, like old pop star, but people like that love him.
Mate, that's class, man. I fucking love that. I love how much love you have for talking about your dad. I think that's so admirable as well,
course,
mate. And I think that probably comes with age as well. I think that definitely comes with age. I think sure. I'm a lot more like that now. I love my family even more every year that goes by because you don't know how long you're going to get with your family. And you know,
course.
You love every fucking second of it.
Oh, that's a bit
no, but when you're a bit younger, you don't care. You're like, I just want to go out with my mates. And then as you get older, you get a little bit more. You're like, oh, I want to spend as much time as possible. Anyway, back to you. Because I'm going to be taking notes here. What's the YouTube thing? The football thing?
Pitch Invasion.
No, after that.
Copper 90.
You did Copper 90.
Yes.
And then you went to Capital Evenings. Is that what you did?
No, so I was working for Copper 90 and I was doing half present. They wouldn't give me a full-time presenting role because I went there.
How old were you at this point?
21.
21, yeah.
And I was like on their door and I was like, look, I just want to work for you. Like I said, I'll shoot content, I'll edit content, whatever you want, write content, be in it, do the whole thing. And they were like, yeah, all right. And then I was like, look, and then it came to the World Cup and they were like, we don't have any more room left for people to go out to Brazil. So you're just going to be the runaround boy collecting the edits and, you know, chopping up some stuff that we send over. So I was like, shit. I was like, what if I make my own show here? I was like, please, can I just work something around the World Cup? And they were like, yeah, feel free. So I built this show called Man Versus Football that was fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, it was awful. But I was running around town all the time and I was like, I set myself a challenge to watch every game of the World Cup in that nationality's like representing bar in London.
That's quite fun.
So it was like, yeah, it was weird.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah, Pete would enjoy
that.
Yeah,
it was fun, but like it was weird. Like, you know, when you start getting into like, you know, South Korean bars or Nigerian bars and like, and you know, you're going around everywhere, chatting to people, meeting them. The show was crap. Yeah. Like, it was crap. But I kept bumping into this same boy and this boy was there and he had a dictaphone every time, you know, a little recorder. And I seen him a couple of times and then I went up to him. I was like, look, what are you doing? You following me? Like what? Like, and then
it was me.
And that's where they first met.
Yeah. And then he was like, I was like, what's up? What's the deal? And he goes, no, I work for LBC. And he goes, I'm getting like sound bites for different fans. And I went, all right, so what? So are you finished or what? Like, you know, do you want to get a beer? And he was like, nah, I've got to get like a thing. I go, how many you got? He was like, none. Right? He was quite timid about it. And I went, all right, give me your thing. So I took your thing off him and I'm stopped. Right, I run around and I just go, scattergun, I go up to everyone, bang, 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 bang. Do a couple of voices myself just to give him the thing. Give it back to him. I go, all right, let's get a beer. So anyways, I meet this kid. And then all of a sudden, like not long after that, I start getting these you know, emails and stuff to go into Capital and for the breakfast show to do like the runaround boy, you know, that street kid, whatever. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, go on then. So then I go in there and I do that a little bit. And then all of a sudden they ask me in and they say, look, we want to offer you a show. It's like middle of the night, but you know, it'd be
and
your
do you
show.
Have to do that live?
Be your show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, middle of the night, but it'll be your show. And I was like, sick. And they go, do you know how you got the gig? And they were like, you know, big boss was like, do you know how you got the gig? And I was like, no. He goes, oh, you kept bumping into my son.
No.
So it's like, so sometimes it's like, you know, you put it out there and you, that classic thing of luck is when preparation meets opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. And it just kind of fell together. And then from there, it just, you know, if you love creating, I'm someone that I like creating as well. Like, you know, and that's what I like to do. I like making people laugh.
What was it like to go from your evening show to
breakfast
on Capital? Because that, mate.
Why are you asking?
Because I saw.
You're on evenings now, right?
Yeah, I'm on
evenings. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah,
so... I love evenings as
yeah,
well.
Man.
I think it's the best slot. Oh. I genuinely fucking love it.
Mate, we used to cause carnage on it.
And mate, and you know what? It's so relaxed.
My best mate, Joe, who's not with us anymore, like he and I used to do that show, just us two on our own. And like, you know.
Is that where you met him? In the evenings?
I met Joe when I first got introduced into Capital Breakfast as the street kid. He was working for Breakfast and they sent him out to go and do this thing. And he's like, fucking hell, is this kid from like Martin Kemp's kid. Do you know what I mean? Like, why am I having to deal with this? And you know, like, so that's where I first met him. But after when it got to evenings, you know, like, he's my boy. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like, that's it. And like, both single lads. Like, can you imagine? Like, we do
the fun
evening shows. Yeah, finish at 10, straight out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't have to go back into work till 4 the next day. Like, it was just carnage.
Yeah, that's fucking
so
lovely.
Evenings were amazing.
How many years do you do that for?
2 years.
2 years.
I set myself a goal. When I first started at Capital, I was like, right, I want to be on The Breakfast Show in the next 10 years. By 10 years of being there.
And how old are you at that point?
I was 22, and I did it within 3 years of being at Capital.
Because I remember, I've got this vivid memory, mate, of I was on Main Chelsea at this point, and we were filming a scene, and a bus went past, and your face was on it.
Yeah.
And I went, fuck, I want to do what he does. I was like, yeah. I like reality TV, but like, that's what I want to do.
But radio's fun, man.
I absolutely adore it. But I remember, and then you'd just been given the gig, and I just wanted to know what it felt like, because you were young at that point. Well, not that you're not young now, but you were super young at that point. What did it feel like to be given like one of the biggest shows in radio?
So I was 23. Three,
that's
nearly
young,
24.
Mate.
You know, I was the youngest at the time, and I was terrified. So much so, I was so terrified, right, about it, and I was so terrified of looking like a fraud, right. I remember the day that they offered it to me.
What was it like?
I was like, in my head, I was going. I mean, Joe was going, let's go.
Yeah,
right? And I was like, I don't know.
Panicked.
And you know, because also you feel like my life's going to be over.
Yeah,
I've got to get up.
When am I going to get to go take the Justin?
No, no joke.
What tips have you got for Sam for the jungle? You came third, so you reached the final.
Yeah.
How fucked off you that you didn't win?
Not really. I think
completing it is the best.
Yeah, my dad actually said to me, he was like, you don't want to win. I was like, what do you mean?
He goes,
because you get known as the king of or the queen of for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, and that would be how they headline you.
That's
and
now
I'm just,
point.
But then I realized I'm just still now Martin Kemp.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Martin Kemp's son, king of the jungle.
Yeah.
It just adds to the,
adds to
the
it,
intro.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, adds to it. And so, but no, but to be honest, when you get out there, you'll know. Your main thing is get to the final.
Yeah, but mate,
that'll be in your head. When you get to about six people away, you'll start thinking, oh, I want to do the, Cyclone.
That's what I said to Pete. I said I wanted to do the Cyclone.
I really want to do the Cyclone. That'll be it.
I've never seen it.
I've never been more nervous in my life than when you're sat around that fire pit and Anna and Decker going, Sam, it might be you. When they say that to you, it will send the shit through you.
Oh, also really good accent as well. I used to love watching your accents. It might be you.
Yeah, man. It like genuinely that will freak you out. But I think in terms of, if you see Sam playing with a ball, it's because you've realised that what they wrap your rice and beans up with is like this like car, like paper, like this cardy paper.
And you can make it into a ball to throw.
Make it into a ball, and they also put elastic bands around it. So what you should do is take the elastic bands off and then keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it, and you'll get to a point where it's like a football. And so that's
wow.
At least you have something like that.
Yeah. Love that shit. Yeah. Mate, thank you for that though. I do appreciate all the
that's
fucking right. help on that, because I'm fucking terrified.
No, but I wish that someone had told me hard it is.
And he got to the final.
Yeah, but again, there's a massive difference. Like, Roman's really charismatic, friendly, likeable, relatable, and you're not.
Can you do any accents?
No, I can't.
Impressions?
I'm terrible. No.
No.
Mate, I don't have any party tricks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... Hey, look at me.
But do you know...
I can do this.
I say this, Sam, all the time. There's only so many times that you can fall off a hammock and sort of fart on someone before it becomes quite aggravating.
I know exactly the type. I know the
chaotic
type of person that Sam's going to be in there. Sam's going to be the first campmate to name an animal that comes in.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, Roger's back.
Yeah.
You'd be like, it'd be a fucking ladybird.
No. but on a serious note, I said this too. I think if you're yourself,
I think you'll be good, man.
I think you'll win it if you're yourself. Genuinely.
Jesus Christ.
Because, mate, it comes across, and genuinely, if you are just yourself, what you'll see is the game players, and that'll freak you out.
Really?
You'll see people
that
all of a sudden you'll hear the camera move, and people go,
no!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that happen? So you, because they're fixed rigs, aren't they? They go,
yeah, you hear it a little bit, yeah, and then all of a sudden you'll see someone step up, and then, like, you know, that's where there was a few arguments in ours.
Really? Because they were, like, playing up for
Andrew
cameras.
Maxwell and Ian Wright got into a big, big fight.
I guarantee it was Ian Wright calling out Ian, wasn't it? Yeah, I knew it. Yeah.
The thing is with things like that, for example,
that.
Yeah, but I'm very different.
You're joking. Yeah. He'd be in the shower scene with you.
Yeah! Yeah, of course you would. Look at that photo. We've got a frame there, yeah. Over, mate. He fucking loves it.
I'm so also because I don't overthink or like worry about things. So, but also I'm probably a bit more confrontational than you are.
God, you'd love a show.
I don't think so. You know, I've got fucking tits now. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
He calls it a derby.
Yeah, I've got.
Yeah, it's a derby. Yeah.
See what? Yeah,
oh, you're not a derby. Is
Derby. Kelly.
I don't know. Why would
your
I know?
Your belly. you only just up
a Derby Kelly.
I've never heard of
Derby. No, he's the other, he's wrong side of London, isn't he?
fucking jokes.
Do you know I knew you were doing I'm a Celeb because I heard that you were having your wisdom teeth out.
Really?
Yeah.
How, why?
Because I was like, you're getting everything prepared.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Getting everything prepared.
He's been to more doctor's appointments in the past couple of weeks than anyone ever. Did you meet Bob?
Oh, you'll meet Bob out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, the medic. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what my favourite thing is? Is when that what's her name? The girl collapses.
Can I say this?
Gillian McKeith, and she falls over, and before she even hit the floor, Ant goes, "Better get Bob." He's already mic'd up,
mate. When Gillian McKeith hits the floor, right? Because she fakes it. Right, she fakes fainting. Yeah. Have you seen this one?
Mate, so do you know Gillian McKeith? Brilliant.
She was a nutritionist.
She's not the bird that talks about shit.
Yeah. And do you know
bag
what?
Bag it. And she goes like this, right? And she didn't want to do the trial, right? So she fainted. She goes, oh, like that, right? And then fell to the floor.
Ant laughed.
But then she fell to the floor, but then realised that her skirt had ridden up. So she goes like this. She goes, oh, and then you just see.
Do you know what as well, which I fucking love, is one of the guys, because basically the public are savages and they picked her for everyone. She hated them. She was crying and shit, and so the public is just evil going to that. And one of the guys, when they go, it's like Gillian's like seventh task in a row, and she's literally like, oh no, and they go, it is you, Gillian. And then she gets on. One of the guys goes, have you no shame? To the fucking viewer. He goes, have you no shame? And you can see the viewer going, nope, none at all. Yeah. Vote for again. And she busts out and just starts laughing, going, well, we better get Bob in. And she gets her feet put in the fucking position.
I love it.
It's so good. I don't even know how we got on that, but yeah.
Hey guys, we normally keep it light on this podcast, but this is just a trigger warning that in the next section of the episode, Roman discusses depression and suicide, which he has explored in his documentaries. If you're not in the right headspace to hear this, please skip forward approximately 8 minutes to hear the rest of the podcast. Remember, help is always available. You can contact the Samaritans 24 hours a day at 116 123.
Your documentary, which has won an award, which I've seen, which is fucking amazing, genuinely.
Thanks, man.
You've just done another one, though, haven't you?
Yeah, just done another one, yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell, mate.
He's
fun,
yeah.
Is that the kind of route that you want to be doing, like the documentary stuff? Like, I know it's they're tough subjects that you've done, but they mean something to you, and it's a passion project, I imagine, for you.
To be totally honest, like when it comes to the doc, I like the first one that I did that selfishly because I knew that the BBC would give me access to the best therapist, and I knew that they would give me access to the best professors and people that have been through it. Is my honest answer.
Like, that's a good answer, mate. Fair.
Well, but like, you know, if someone goes to you like, oh, can you, you know, would you be interested in this? All of a sudden I start thinking, you know, in my head at that time, I was so devoed and like, I was just like, I've lost my best mate. I don't understand it. Why is he gone? Like, you know, I need to figure this out. And it was really like amazing therapy for me personally to do, you know, so it was my own journey.
Right, in the process of doing that though, what you managed to do is create something that related to so many people and helped so many other people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the...
But it was just being honest. Yeah. Like, you know...
But also, mate, before that, I heard you talk about it on the radio. I heard it, mate. Live on the radio.
Yeah.
Did you get told live on the radio? Because you left, didn't you?
So Joe obviously was, you know, my best mate, like ridiculous. And, you know, go work together, you go out together and all this type of stuff, right? I was doing the show in the morning and I came in and he wasn't at work. And I was like, I must have like stayed up at some girl's house or something like that, whatever. Oh, he's just late. I'm going to absolutely cook him when he comes in because I'm like, you were fucking late, blah, blah, blah. And then the hours just kind of kept going and then it got to like 7 and... And I was like, you know, so you start to worry a little bit.
Yeah.
And all this time, I'm still doing the
show. You're live
on
air at the time.
Yeah, I'm still doing the show. And so in my head, I'm like doing these links on air. But I'm also thinking like, come on, man. Like, come on, bro. Like, you know, get up. And then I finished this link. It's probably about 7:40. And then my exec walks in and I looked at her face and I knew. And I looked at her and I said, he's gone, isn't he? And she just said, yeah. And then it was... And then I don't remember what happened. I think we left the room. I called my mum and dad, you know, and I was going through everything in my head. You know, has he fallen over again? You know, fallen over, or is he, you know, choked on a bit of food or something like this?
And then it was only when I saw, instantly you kind of go into this protection mode over the rest of your team and you start being like, everyone, you know, come together and, you know, where is everyone? And the producer was still out with the police and the emergency services. And then so we got her back to the studio. You know, obviously she's just witnessed the most horrendous thing you should ever witness in your life. She come in and she goes, yeah. And I remember her just saying, I just can't believe he's done this to himself. And then all of a sudden my mind just changed and it went from sadness to pure hatred.
Really?
Like, I was so angry, like beyond. And that's what like the difference is like with suicide sometimes and like, grief, because you're like, you know, and we're taught like to do this thing where it's like, you know, you shouldn't hate someone when it comes to suicide. Or, you know, people always tell you, no, it's not selfish. It's you know, it's their choice. It's this thing. But in my opinion, it is. Because in my opinion, it is a form of selfishness, because you're not getting rid of that grief. You're passing it on to every single person that loves you. That's it. That's all you're doing. For the rest of my life, I will have that.
Yeah.
And for the rest of his mum and dad's life and his sister's life, they will have that.
Did you have any inkling that that was going to be...
No.
He didn't speak about it once?
But, like, it couldn't be more opposite.
Really?
Like, could not it's be fucking... more opposite. Like when I say he was the happiest person you've ever met.
You found anything out since then?
No.
Not at all?
Nope.
So you still...
I was like, I want to see his bank. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to know his internet history. I want to know this. I want to... Nothing.
But that's the thing with mental health is it's quite often people see the front that people put on and don't know what's going on internally.
Of course.
And that's why I always say, like, when it comes to the whole mental health thing, everyone, you know, says talk and do this and do that, but actually... It's something you can't cure. It's a struggle you're gonna have for the rest of your life, and it's about finding the better days over the bad, the kind of the bad days.
100%.
My mum's there's a similar story I'll talk to you about after that.
Yeah,
it's similar. So I get the hatred thing. I sort of understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is.
But that's from an intervention stage, right? Yeah. And what you're saying there is there isn't a cure for it when you're at this stage now, where when you are a perfectionist at your own mask. There is no cure for that.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing you say to that person will change that.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, if you were to, if you say to me now, you know, I will always say I feel some form of responsibility. Of course I do. Because if I had had a conversation and I'd known about it, I am 99% sure he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because I am 99% sure that when I see him, he will go, sorry, mate, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that. But like, when it comes to the intervention side, everyone is professional at it. So you can't, you know, it's really hard to break that. And that's why my focus, like, especially in the new doc, is, you know, that you can watch on BBC iPlayer.
We were ever going to plug something. This is probably the thing to plug.
Yeah,
to be
plug
fair.
This, yeah. But like, you know, that for me is about what has to be happening next. And that's prevention. And,
yeah.
And that's like, for instance, if I said to you, yeah, oh, exactly what you have been doing, right, with I'm a Celeb. Sam, you're going into the jungle for three, four weeks, right? If I tell you this is coming up, your first thing is, I need to prepare for it and I need to know what to do. How do I deal with this when this happens? And what do I do when this happens? We all know as adults that the kids of the next generation are going to go through depression, anxiety, you know, anything, you know what I mean? ADHD or ADD or anything like that. But there is nothing that prepares them for that. And there's no outlet for them in their own school that says how to deal with those things. And that's why, like, you know, when you look into it and you look at things like mental health support teams that do help kids understand why they're feeling down, you know, if a child experiences sexual, physical abuse, emotional abuse, or, you know, is it growing up in a family that is really hard, they've got no one to talk to. And the schools that do have these support teams, the rates in terms of success rates and turnarounds in even behavior in school is unbelievable. And, you know, it was sad for me because in this doc, you go to the government, you say, okay, you've got this thing that's going to bring down these numbers, that's going to bring down these suicide numbers. Because when it gets to the point of, am I going to take my own life or not? They've been through that and they know what to do. They know how to handle it. And you look at the government, you say, okay, so you're going to put these in the schools. And they go, yeah, we've got our target to put them in 36% of schools. And you go,
just do it in everyone. Yeah.
But even as a target, like, again, like if I said to you, like, back at school, what did your teacher want you to get? 100%.
Yeah.
If you went to your teacher and said, I'll get 36%, they'll say that's a fail. Like, and then they come back and they go, oh, 50%.
Why is it so hard as well? Why don't you just do it?
Because the thing is politics is all short term.
Yeah.
It's every 4 years. So, yeah. So
keep
you
in there, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But in terms of my next push is always kind of like that, yeah.
Mate, that's fucking brilliant. And we have never, to be honest, on this podcast...
Sorry, it's quite serious for your
podcast. No, mate. We wanted to bring it up because it's something that you should be obviously so proud of. And I think we don't normally get that many reputable people kicking about on Staying Relevant. So it's an absolute fucking pleasure.
And it's really nice for you to insult every other guest we've ever had on the show there, mate. We don't really get reputable people, so...
We don't get many guests.
This reminds me of is the NTA...
I knew you were going to say this.
When we were interviewing someone and Sam lost interest in the interview and started running after someone else going, give us the microphone back, and then had someone else mid-interview. And I'm not even joking, I went, we were mid-talking to someone, he went, oh my God, it's Piers Morgan, took the microphone and ran off to Piers Morgan. And the person was just stood there like,
Who are you interviewing?
Chloe Burrows and Minnie Court.
Oh, well, they love
them. We love them, they're really nice. They were on the pod.
Oh, right.
And then, as they walked off, Sam slapped a Staying Relevant sticker on their bag and went, off you go.
And that's why I get the job.
Fucking unbelievable.
You know what? How the fuck have we managed to like go U-turn from so many different topics? Roman, mate, thank you so much for coming on the pod, mate. Genuinely, I can't think of many... I'm just going to blow our, like, our own trumpet. I can't think of many interviews that have fucking gone through so many different places, and it's all, mate, all down to being amazing guests. Thank you so much for finally coming on here.
Thanks, man.
And just being so lovely that I can't really hate you, even though I want to, but I can't. You're an absolute legend.
I actually go back to, this is the thing. I'm like absolutely Kaiser Soze-ing the shit out of this. Yeah. I'll walk out of here back with my picture and voodoo doll of you.
Yeah.
Stab it to death.
Yeah.
Pete does it every night.
If you lose yours, you can borrow mine.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Staying Relevant. Probably one of the best episodes we've ever done. It's probably because I spoke.
I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It's quite easily the best episode we've probably ever done. Mainly because you were very good there today. I'm trying to hold it in. I'm trying to impress him. Normally, Sam spits on, fucking burps, and does whatever in front of guests. Today, you even did that finger thing when you were talking.
Did I?
I noticed you do it. Yeah, the thing is, Roman. Yeah. So you really stepped up your game. You are professional.
Do you know what really annoys me is I sometimes look to Pete to see if I'm doing okay, but he had his back to me, so I couldn't really get a read on whether I was doing all right.
I just left you to it then. You did a fucking great job.
Thank you very much.
But you can listen to this on Monday when the podcast comes out. You can watch us on Friday for all the visual stuff and some extra bits, and then follow us on Staying Relevant on Instagram for all your other little fucking crap bits, and TikTok and Snappy C or whatever you want
Snapchat.
To call it. And keep voting for Sam in the Jungle because he's still in
there.
Yeah,
do it.
I know he's here now, but he's endorsed by Roman Kemp.
Yeah, do it.
So yeah, keep voting for Sam. And we'll be back. Well, I'll be back next week. You won't.
Yeah. It's happening a week. Yeah.
What Pete hasn't told you, right, is that
you're going to host a show.
Hey, you know that he's not here. Why don't you come on my radio show?
No!
That'd be fucking great.
Do you want to do that?
Let's fucking do
Let's
that.
Let's do that.
100%.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah. So thanks for being here. Catch us next time. Insanity
Group. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.